Good morning to everybody. This is Matt. If you could please try to mute your phones on your own, reach down, find the mute button on there so we don't have the heavy breathing that Terry just pointed out. I can mute everybody from here, but I hate to do that because I want you to speak up whenever you feel like you want to. So if you can mute your own, that keeps me from having to mute everybody so we can hear. Thank you all for being on here with us this morning. I appreciate your time that you spend with us. And I think I say it every call, but it's amazing to see who is and who isn't on the call. It's always the guys that are doing a good job already and producing and meeting their goals that take the time to be on the call. And it's the guys that are complaining and not necessarily achieving at the levels they want to that never find the time to make a call. They've always got something else going on that they would rather do. So coincidence, I'm pretty sure it's not. But first of all, Jerry Myrick, owner and president of Pace Setter, is on with us this morning. So I'll give Jerry a few minutes and let him open up for us. Jerry?
Yes, we're just talking to Mike from Tucson and relating. Mike was a financial advisor for a number of years, and through regulations and all that stuff, he decided to change focus. And I was telling him that in my early years in the business, we didn't have many leads to work with, maybe 5 to 8 a week. And then the fellow who was administering that would somehow forget to do mailings. And put me in the ordinary business, looking for newborn babies, parents, and people in town. So it was not more leads. It's what made me focus on Final Expense. And Matt has put together the program RGI that has just been a boon for all of our agents who are participating. And we've got that constant lead flow, which is tremendously important because there's a description of us by some of the more elite, they think they're elite agents, and they call us lead cripples, but they have never, ever investigated it to find out what it really means to have new prospects every week and an abundance of them if you're ordering the right number of leads per week. I know we've got a lot of our newer agents start out with 15 a week, and there's nothing wrong with that, and I understand that. There's a certain amount of trepidation about, is this really going to work, and they don't want to perhaps go to the 20-25 right off the bat, but I see most of them after the first month are going up to 20, and then eventually some of them up to 25. And obviously the more leads you have, the more business you're inclined to write. So I have been very grateful for Matt for him rounding up RGI and setting up the program with them. And I hope you guys who have worked other lead programs know that this has really been a godsend for all of us. So, man, I think that's the only comments I have to make today. Wish everyone the best, of course, and we do appreciate your business. And we're always available, Matt and I, if you have a question or a problem or an opportunity, be sure to get in touch with us. So that's what I have to say today, Matt.
Awesome. Thanks, Jerry. And I just kind of like to expand on that a little bit while we're just talking about the lead program, because I've had discussions with a few different guys this week about, you know, the lead program itself, one being a fixed cost and two, the weekly steady order. And, you know, as far as the fixed cost goes, I mean, it's highly regional as far as what kind of mail returns come. And then even within a region, you know, a specific area, within that region, mail returns can fluctuate a lot. So, you know, in some areas, a guy might be able to do a little bit better cost-wise by doing a per thousand mailing. In other areas, he would do a lot worse on a per thousand mailing. So, I mean, the fixed cost program kind of averages that out. But what I see as being a bigger factor, honestly, than the cost, because when you're talking about leads, if you talk about, you know, $5 in one direction or the other, don't get me wrong, yes, it's a significant expense and it adds up over time. But the bigger thing about the lead program is the consistency and the fact that it's automatic for you as an agent. Because, you know, even if in your area, maybe you could get a little higher mail return and it would be, you know, it would break out on a cost per lead, you know, a few dollars cheaper than what you're paying now. Any of you have done per thousand mailings on your own, you know that that's almost like a second job for you to try to manage that and keep a constant lead flow out and forecast what you do have, what you don't have, what's coming in. You know, you got to look out 5 and 6 weeks saying, okay, now I got to mail this area. Now I got to mail this area. So, but the fixed cost lead program, you know, we always talk about it from the fact that it's a fixed cost, but even more important than that is it just that it's a regular lead flow. And I will tell you, hands down, it's not just with us, it's with any IMO across the country. The agents that have a steady flow of leads that they can count on, that they know are going to be there week in and week out, are the guys that produce big numbers, the guys that are career agents and, you know, make a very good living off of it. Where other guys, they might be great salesmen. They can go out and sell a bunch of expense. They might be able to go out and sell final expense like no other, but, you know, they've got 30 leads. And that keeps them busy, and then all of a sudden their lead flow is not there, either from the mailhouse dropped the ball, or they didn't get their order in, or, you know, they had some chargebacks, so they're like, well, geez, you know, I had chargebacks this week, I'll wait and I'll put an order in next week, or, you know, whatever it is. So that steady flow of leads is what keeps you running. The other thing too, what I think is big for an agent, and I'm still on the lead program. I still get regular leads on it too. And what I think is a very good, motivator is that, you know, you've got your 20 leads or 25 or whatever you have, and you know that you need to go out and get those worked because you got 25 fresh ones coming in the next Friday. So that's a very good motivator for you, one, to get out and get them worked, and two, to not let other people put you off. So, you know, when somebody's at the door or you're at the door with somebody, they're like, oh, geez, I really can't. Yeah, I'm kind of busy. And it's like, yeah, well, I'm busy too. We need to get this done because I've got new people that I've got to see next week. So we're going to get this taken care of while I'm here. But I think that's a huge thing of it is the fact that from an agent's perspective, you can do what you do really good, which is sell, and not have to worry about, you know, forecasting, you know, what do I have down the road? Where do I need to mail at? What's coming in and everything else? And the last thing that I have on that is just to point out to everybody how much detail and how serious we are about managing the lead program and making sure that you have your leads. I do all of that myself. And it takes a good amount of my time up. And I think a lot of times, man, I should pass this off to somebody because I could be doing other things. You know, that if we could pass this off to one of the gals in the office and have them manage it. And I think it's too important to do that. So not only do you have somebody that's managing your lead program, you have somebody that's got a lot of field experience and knows the difference between getting leads spread out in different counties or trying to get those as concentrated as possible to make you productive, and knows how important it is that you have your leads when you're supposed to have your leads. Okay, it's not, you don't just have some gal that's flip it and says, oh, well, you got leads. What are you complaining about? Or you'll have them next week. Who cares? We put a lot of concern in that, and we take, you know, your leads as serious as you do and know how important it is to you. And I can tell you, you know, between us managing the lead program and then what obviously RGI runs it for us, there simply has been very, very few occasions where a ball has been dropped and something hasn't gotten done to where RGI was supposed to get an order out or anything like that. It just doesn't happen. Now, granted, when agents start on the program, you know, it takes, I think we have it in the lead agreement, it can be 6 or 7 weeks for it to steady out. So you might not have your full order the first week, or you might have, you know, might not the second week it comes and something like that. So, but once you get up to speed and we get that steady flow for you, it just, we don't have hiccups. I mean, it's on overdrive and you know, you're going to get your leads every week. So I just wanted to throw that out there about as far as the lead program goes, because I think it's a very, very important process. And if you haven't done per thousand mailings on your own and haven't experienced one, the time it takes to do that and the inconsistency that can come in that, not knowing how many leads you're going to get. If you haven't ever done that, you probably don't appreciate the lead program and how consistent that is for you. So, but I guess since we're on the lead program, does anybody have any questions about the lead program, leads in general, anything like that? I know we have a few a few agents on here that are just looking at that contacted me this week and want to get on it but haven't started yet. And if you guys have questions for not only me but for other guys that are on here that are out, you know, in the battle already and working that same lead program, feel free to ask it. Okay, so I've got a question.
You're gonna have to. Go ahead.
So I got a question here that was sent in on the message. Says, is there any way to identify serial mailers, how many times they have responded in the last 6 months or so? That's a good question. I mean, the lead management system, so once you're logged into your account, every lead that you've ever received through that always lives in there. You cannot, even if you were technology illiterate and you did it by mistake, you simply can't delete leads out of there. So
when
you,
that's good to know.
Yeah, when you get a lead and, you know, you can automatically see. So if you look, you know, Sharon Smith, I think I visited with her last year, but you can automatically search within your lead program for Smith or Sharon or her zip or whatever it is, and you can see if Sharon Smith responded a year ago. So, yeah, all those leads live in there forever. So that's a good question, Kurt. Another thing on that, I mean, as far as repeats, I mean, there's going to be some serial mailers when you get to the final expense demo. As far as RGI's perspective, if that was over 60 days ago, it's still considered a billable lead. Now, if you happen to get two leads by the same person that went out on the same mail drop, obviously, you know, let us know and refund that. If the lead date, the date that it came into the office, is over 60 days apart, then it's still a billable lead. Now, that being said, we don't have anybody set up on a mail program where they're mailing the same area with like 60 days apart. That's why when we look at a mail program, we want you to have, you know, four counties, or some guys have six and eight counties depending on population density, because we don't want to mail. I mean, our RGI will do that for us if we want them to. I mean, they only have what's called a 60-day suppression. So, you know, if you mail this zip code, they'll mail it for you again 60 days from now. But we don't have anybody set up on a program like that where we're going back and mailing the same area 60 days later. I mean, most of them are set up so we're not mailing in at least 4 months, some of them 6 months, some guys further. I mean, some guys, they're in populated areas and have a lot of data to run through. You know, they're mailing the same place maybe 8 months, 9 months, even a year down the road. So, but you know, you're really – control of that by how big of a geographical area you want to work and by how much data, you know, is in your area that you can work. So, you know, if you want to keep a small circle and just run these three counties, then you just have to keep in mind that you're going to be mailing again, you know, 4 months from now. And if there is a repeat, then it's still a billable lead. And if you want to do more to prevent that, then, you know, you have to spread your geography out and look at more data to pull in there. So, but I can just tell you, I mean, even on our areas that we're mailing, you know, once every 4 months, once every 5 months, we don't see a whole lot of repeat lead. I mean, if they do come in that far apart, they're still billable, but we don't see a whole lot of repeat lead. So, and another thing I'll add to that is whatever we can get a refund from RGI, you know, whether it's a repeat within 60 days, whether it's a PO box without another way to contact them, or bad ages or whatever, whatever RGI will refund us, we will refund you. Because I have some agents that you know, want to take me to task and say, well, I don't agree with that and this and that, and you should still do that. Well, number one, we're very upfront. Everything's in the lead agreement in black and white. There's no maybes in the lead agreement. It tells you exactly what is and what isn't billable. And number two, again, there is no profit margin built into our lead program. We don't charge you 50 cents extra or a dollar extra to cover our costs or anything like that. It is straight across. What RGI charges, that's what the agent pays. What RGI will refund, that's what the agent can get refunded for. And, you know, if we're going to start doing stuff over and above what RGI will do, then we got to start adding, you know, costs into the lead program. We don't want to do that. So we spell everything out up front. Everybody agrees on it. It's in black and white, and we know what is and what isn't billable and considered a lead. So, like I said, I think that I definitely like it that way. I don't want to add costs on to everybody's leads just so we can have room to credit a few guys that complain and moan, you know, on this side. So I think everybody's on the same page as far as that goes. How about other questions as far as leads go? The lead program itself? Nobody. Okay. Anything else that anybody wants to bring up? Situation, house they were faced with, problem they've had, anything like that? Okay. Well, the only thing that I really had to look at today, and the reason being that had a lot of questions on it this week of mostly guys that were kind of newer getting started, is just general underwriting. How do you decide what product you're going to write? How do you decide what they will and won't qualify for, you know, things like that. And, you know, even guys that have been at it for a while, you still run into situations where they're not sure, you know, how something's going to go. So what I'll probably do is just look at it carrier by carrier as far as the best way to nail things down with that carrier. And then also just a little bit of highlights and general knowledge about what that carrier is and isn't good for. So, anybody have any questions about any specific carriers before we do that? Okay. So again, the first thing I do if I'm in front of a client and I'm trying to decide what they qualify for, the best thing that I can get for them is to decide again, what your primary carrier is. And for everybody, I mean, I recommend you have a primary carrier, you know, one, if it works out, and if you can find something for them with that carrier that makes sense, that's the carrier, right? Give me just a second to mute that. Again, so everybody's muted. You have the ability to unmute yourself at any time, and then I'll do so periodically also. So the go-to carrier, again, why that's important, and we've talked about it on here before, if you have a carrier that you're putting the majority of your business with, that's advantageous to you, you know, for a few reasons. One, you get to know that product inside and out, so you feel super comfortable when you're presenting the company to the client, when you go to the underwriting on it, to the submission, to the follow-up on it as far as their procedures on, you know, clearing up insufficient funds or beneficiary change or whatever it is. You know, you get very, very comfortable with that carrier and the ins and outs of it. The other side of that, of having a primary carrier and somebody that you submit the majority of your business to, is they get comfortable with you. So you get to know the people in their home office. So when a case comes in from, you know, from you, and there's a question on the underwriting and things aren't all that clear, without a doubt, it's going to be to your advantage when they know who you are. So we know this is from Agent Bill Smith. He always gives us quality business. We see his apps in here on a daily basis. You will get the benefit of the doubt for any kind of issues that come up, whether it's, you know, you left something off the app, and for a normal agent, they're going to want an amendment on it, but they know who Agent Bill Smith is, so they're going to just grab that information from him on the phone. To where an underwriting issue, dual use medication that could go either way, Agent Bill Smith knows what he's doing. He knew it wouldn't qualify if it was this way, so we're sure that he did it right. So it's going to be to your advantage to, if you have, you know, a majority of your business going to one carrier or the other. The other thing with that too is our carriers that have, you know, whether it be trips, incentive trips, or cash incentives or whatever, you know, if you're spreading business out among 12 different carriers, you're not going to qualify for any trips. You're not going to meet cash bonuses, whatever it is. But you know, if you make one your go-to and I'm writing everybody I can with them, as long as it makes sense, then, you know, you're going to be able to qualify for incentive trips, cash bonuses, things like that. So, and again, the importance of that really is up to you. Cash bonuses, obviously, everybody sees the value in that. As far as trips, that's real important to some guys, and it means very little to nothing to other guys. And that's up to you. If you've never been on an insurance company sponsored incentive trip, though, I mean, it's really pretty awesome experience. I mean, Jerry and I have been on trips with a lot of different companies, and there's never been a bad one. They all do very good trips and treat you very well. So, so again, back to the underwriting, where I came from on that. If you start with whatever your primary carrier, so you want Royal Neighbors to be your go-to. I mean, you're putting everything with Royal Neighbors that you can. Then the easiest thing to do when you're in a house with a client is pull out that Royal Neighbors worksheet and run through those health questions. Okay. And like I said, when I say pick a primary, that's, we don't have a preference. We don't try to push you guys to write this carrier or write that carrier or whatever it may be. It's whatever works for you and what you're comfortable with. So if it's Royal Neighbors is your go-to, then pull that app out and run through those questions. Now the issue that some guys have called me with on that is, okay, so I'm on the Royal Neighbors app or worksheet, and I get down to the second section and there's a yes. Well, what I do highly recommend at that point, even though Royal Neighbors is your go-to, is once you hit a yes answer on that worksheet, refer back to our field underwriting guide, okay, that has multiple carriers on it and most health conditions on it. Because if you refer back to that, once you find that yes answer, so you went down and you found a yes, the yes is COPD. Okay. So rather than just, you know, blindly writing a Royal Neighbors graded for COPD, you're always best off to refer back to the field underwriting guide and see how the other carriers treat that and what you might be able to do for them. So you hit the yes for COPD, refer back to the field underwriting guide. Again, if you don't have that in front of you, I highly recommend you print it off. It's on our training website. But go down to that, health conditions are alphabetical, go to lung disease, COPD, and see how everybody else treats it. Okay. So if you look across lung disease on there, COPD, you see you've got a couple options actually for level coverage. If we can get somebody level coverage, that's definitely something that we at least want to try to do. Okay. So you can get level coverage for COPD with the AmeriCo Ultra Protector 2. And if they're a non-smoker, with the surety, okay? Now, a few other things to keep in mind about that is if you don't have that that carrier, because not everybody's contracted with every carrier, one, if you want it, let us know. We contract you with whoever you want to be contracted with. But two, if you do have that carrier, then you can look. That's level. So Ultra Protector 2. And then what I also recommend, it's on our training site, but I have a quick rate comparison. It's not something to figure an exact rate to the penny, but just to see how those different products compare with each other in five-year age bands to get a feel. So they qualify for an Ultra Protector 2. What I would do is just kind of look at the rates real quick. Is an Ultra Protector 2 rate-wise, is that better than Royal Neighbors is? And get a feel for that. Yes, it's level coverage, but if they're a non-smoker and it costs them, you know, $40 more a month, is that level coverage worth $40 a month? You can even present that to the client. Well, here's what I can do. I can get you day one coverage and it costs you $80, or I can get you, you know, graded coverage that pays 30% in year one, 70% in year two, and it pays you $40. So you can let them decide. Or you can make that decision for them and which one that you're going to present to them, you know, either way. But that's what I think is a kind of a start. Your primary, see if they can answer no to everything. If they can't, come back to the field guide and see where that yes is and what other carriers have to option, what other options you have. Again, that's not the everything. The next thing, in which I think is probably more important in the long run than the health questions, is the medications. So, you know, you start nailing it down, you're looking at carriers I can and can't qualify for. You know, I just say, will you please grab me a list of your medications real quick? Most people have a list from the doctor or a handwritten list that they'll hand to you. If they don't have that, I said, no problem, just grab the bottles. I can just look off the medication bottles for you. When you go through those, again, depending on who your primary carrier is, just about every product we have has its own drug guide. As you're starting out, if you're not familiar with all the drugs, look them up. If you flat out just don't have any clue what that medication's for, the client doesn't have any clue what that medication's for, the America Ultra Protector Drug Guide is a very good resource for just looking at medications and what their use is. Even if you're looking at writing a different product, but you need some guidance on that medication, look it up in there. The other thing, if you just get on your phone or your tablet and go to drugs.com or just Google that medication, it'll tell you in a hurry what the use of it is. So again, so say Rural Neighbors is the primary that you're looking at. They said no to all the all the health questions. You look at their medications. Rural Neighbors has an extremely simple drug knockout list. So again, theirs is not a comprehensive list of most medications. It's purely a list of medications that will cause you issues in underwriting or cause something other than a level benefit, whether it be graded or declined. Rural Neighbors is very true in their underwriting. I mean, if you can say no to the health questions and those medications are not on our knockout list, then most likely you're not going to have any problems. It's going to sail right through. They don't leave a whole lot of gray area there. And like I said, their knockout list is pretty small. And if that drug is not on there, then you should feel comfortable writing them. I mean, obviously there's exceptions. There's new medications that come out all the time. So if they're on some new cancer med that just doesn't happen to be on the knockout list yet, then you're going to have an issue with it. And so that's, again, why it's important to at least know what each medication's for before you make a decision on that. Because, like I said, a new cancer med, it's not on their list, but you Google it and it shows right there that it's cancer treatment. Then even though it's not on the list, there's going to be an issue with it. So health questions check out, meds check out, and the drug guides. You have a pretty good reliance on the fact that you're going to be able to get them approved. So just going back, kind of looking at carrier by carrier, I'll pause for a second and take a breath. Does anybody have any questions on all that? No questions?
No, just a comment, Matt. This is Mike. Good morning.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah, so no, you've been very helpful with me. I've been, you know, face-to-face with the client, and, you know, I've been, don't know where to go, you know, based on their health answers to their health questions. I've called you, and on the spot, you've given me direction. So I just want to put that out there, and I appreciate that.
Absolutely, and I'm more than happy to do that if you're in a house and you get stuck. The two things that I think should be your first option if you're in a house and you get stuck and you're not sure, does this qualify, does it not, or where can I go with this? One, you can call me. Two, we have our group chat. If you're not on that, send me an email and I'll get you on one of those. We've got a couple different groups going on there, but every one of them, I make sure there's knowledgeable guys on there. So if you in a house and you want to just throw it out to the gallery and get an answer on it, you can text that to the group me. You know, if there's 20 guys, 30 guys on there, they'll all see it and somebody will have an answer for you. So those are the real, yep.
I was going to say one other thing. If you're really not sure too, you can always call the carrier for a risk assessment.
Exactly. That was the next thing I was going to say. So those two things, or if all else fails, call the carrier and ask them the specific question. Why I list the other two first is because a carrier can only give you a yes or a no on their product, to whereas if you throw it out on GroupMe or you give me a holler, you know, usually be able to tell you not only yes or no, but here's where you need to look at. The no, that won't work with World Neighbors, but yes, you can write that with Eagle Premier. You know, so we'll give you other options. But yeah, if you're looking at a specific carrier, man, this would be the best product for them, but I'm unsure about this, you can call the carrier directly. All those home office phone numbers are listed on our field underwriting guide, so you don't even have to search for them. The bottom column of page number 2, it's got the number you need to call for each of those. If it's a specific risk assessment line, or if it's just the new business / underwriting department, that number is listed on there for you. So thanks, Greg. But yeah, so there's always help for you. You know, even if you're in a house at 9 o'clock at night and the carriers are all closed, you've got a couple different options. And I don't mind people calling me at any time. Actually for anything, you can call me in the middle of the night if you want. I'm not going to answer, but you're never going to bother me. When I go to bed, my phone goes to do not disturb, and if I won't even know if it rings. Now, I'm honest with you, that usually doesn't happen until about 1 a.m., so if you call me before 1 a.m., I'm usually going to answer. And I don't mind guys calling me at any time, because like I said, when it's time to shut it down, I shut it down, and it goes to do not disturb. So same thing in the morning. Some of the guys on the East Coast call me at 6 a.m. my time. Completely fine with me. If I'm sitting at my desk, I'll hear it ring, and if I'm not, I won't. So holler at me anytime you need help. And like I said, there's a lot of different resources. I don't mind you hollering at me just because of the fact that I'm not going to just give you a yes or no. If there's actually a better solution or whatever else is out there, I'm going to try to lead you down the right path on finding the best thing that you can while you're sitting there. So, because we all know that's important. Getting an answer tomorrow or, you know, 6 hours from now doesn't help you when you're in a house. So you try to make sure that you've got resources while you're sitting there. Any other questions? Comments? Things you'd like?
Hey, Matt. Hey, Matt. It's Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Have you ever heard any back on Randy on keeping our name in front of clients on that program we were talking about?
I have not. I don't even know if Randy's on here with us either, but need to follow up on that. I think what you're talking about is like the ringless voicemails that we were talking about.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I don't have a follow-up on that, but I'm going to put that on the list for my next conference call. Randy was kind of running some tests for us to see how that works, and we'll have some answers on that on our next call.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, absolutely.
Hey, Matt, this is Mike again.
Hey, Mike.
Changing gears just a little bit. One of the objections I've come across recently is goes something like this. Something has to happen before they'll buy from you, meaning, you know, when I get back from vacation in June, you know, give me a call. Or, I'm going to pay off this sewing machine first. That's going to take a couple months, and then I'll be ready. So, you know, anybody out there, you know, a little guidance on how I should respond besides, oh, I'll call you in 3 months.
Yeah, good question. Anybody want to share some thoughts on that? Nobody? Everybody just turns
bodies.
Everybody turns tails and runs when they hear that?
I never heard of a speechless insurance agent. Never heard of it.
I think it's too early for the guys that are on the West Coast. They haven't had their coffee yet.
Man, it's 8:30 here. No excuse there.
Hey, Matt.
Yep.
This is Rick Olivo in Dubuque. One comment I would have on that is I would just keep going back to emphasize how important their help is. We all know that could change in a dime. And the longer you wait, the only thing that you accomplish by waiting is higher premiums and risking your health. So there's no advantage by waiting. I would just more or less hit on that.
Get them on something.
Get them on something. Even if it's a smaller one, start with something. And then you can always increase it later.
Absolutely. I think that's an awesome point.
I like it.
The short, simple answer I hear you guys use a lot for that is you will never be as young and as healthy as you are today. Never. Mm. It's absolutely impossible for you to ever be as young and as healthy as you are while we are sitting here right now. So that's what you're talking about as far as insurability, as far as rates. The other thing I've done before as kind of an example, I hear you, Mike, as far as sewing machine or whatever, as far as I got to get something paid off. I've actually pulled out two sheets of paper out of my notebook. And because the one I hear more than, I mean, sewing machine, and I agree with you, that's not far off base. I can imagine hearing that very easily. But the one I hear more is a medical bill. I got to finish this bill at the hospital or, you know, something like that. Well, in 6 months, I'll have this paid off. Car payment, hospital bill, whatever it is. Pull out two sheets of the paper in the out of my notebook. On this one, I write hospital bill. On this one, I write funeral bill. Okay? So, Ms. Smith, do you know what happens to both of these when you die? Let me see your hospital bill. I tear it up. That hospital bill goes in the trash. The hospital writes it off. Nobody owes anything. And that can be credit card bill. That can be hospital bill. That can be sewing machine payment, car payment, whatever. It goes in the trash. Okay? You see this funeral bill right here? You know what happens to this? It does not go in the trash. It goes right in your daughter's lap, and she's going to have to pay that or make some commitment to pay it in the next 48 hours, or you're not getting buried. Okay? So all those other expenses, they go away. Your kids aren't even responsible for them. Okay? But the funeral bill, it actually doesn't even create itself till once you've died and they've taken your body to the funeral home. But once it creates itself, somebody's got to pay it. It's not going in the trash. It's not getting written off. Somebody's got to pay that. So when we look at all these expenses, and I understand it's tough, you're on a fixed income and everything else, all those rest of those expenses are going to go away when you pass. This one is not. This one is going to your daughters and it's to your daughter, and it's going to be a burden on her.
That's good stuff. Thank you.
Not foolproof by any means, but again, it's another arrow in your quiver. Another one to see if you can find the hot button and get it done. Obviously, if you don't get it done right now, your chances drop dramatically that you're going to get something done 6 months from now when that payment's finished or whatever else that it is. So another thing that I've heard somebody else use on that before, I've never used it. I think in this instance, it was actually a payment on a new refrigerator. And he used it as a live example of something that actually happened, whether it was or whether it was a sales tactic, I do not know. But so he rolled with it. So the current person said something like, oh, I've got to finish paying this off. Like, well, no problem. You know, I can tell you an experience that I had with that where I had a client that they had just bought a new refrigerator. Okay. And they had payments on their refrigerator. I think it was like $100 till it was paid off. So they told me that they wanted to wait until they had the refrigerator paid off to take their burial policy out. Okay. So we actually had paperwork done. They weren't going to pay anything on it. They told me they wanted to hold off. But she had called me, whatever, 2 days later, and her husband had died. And she had asked me, did you ever submit that paperwork? And I said, no, I did not. You told me to hold on to it because you were thinking you wanted to get the refrigerator paid off first. So she's like, well, we did the app, right? Yes, we did. You have signatures on it? Yes. You got a voided check? Yes. And he said, okay, well, I'll give you a choice. I can either, you know, set this aside and put it in the shredder like you told me to. In that case, you've got like a $10,000 funeral or a $10,000 refrigerator sitting in your kitchen. Or I can submit it, and you're going to have a burial policy that's enforced and is going to pay out for you. So that was something that he had used and said it had worked for him. So just another option that whatever it is, so if it's a sewing machine, you know, don't let this sewing machine turn into a $10,000 sewing machine because you decided not to take a burial policy out because of it. You know, that sewing machine will get paid off eventually. Let your burial policy be there to take care of your funeral expenses.
Thanks.
Anybody else have comments, questions? Okay. Back on the underwriting side, does anybody have anything they want to look at specifically with that? I won't look in at getting the each carrier individually, since we won't have time to get too far on it. You have any specific questions on carriers, on where to head with general medical conditions, something like that? Most of that you can find in the field underwriting guide. If you can't find the answer, then give us a holler, run it down. If you don't have the field underwriting guide, it's on our website, centeradvantage.com/training. Click on the online training button. The password is agent-training, but you can find a lot of different resources on there. One other thing I wanted to throw out, Rural Neighbors had announced that they're going to have a rate increase effective very, very shortly. Nobody knows what that looks like. They have not put it out yet. I think it's effective, is it the 15th of this month? Does anybody know for sure? I know they sent an email out on it.
Yes, the 15th.
It is.
So the 15th of this month, but they don't have the new rates up on the website yet. My best guess is that you're going to have to get on the morning of the 15th and print that sheet off before you head out the door. I'll obviously send it out to everybody too as soon as it comes out, but they haven't shared it with anybody. So no idea what to expect. I hope, anticipate that it's going to be minimal. It won't be something that factors in. I mean, they're competitive already, so hopefully it'll be a small rate increase and it's not a huge issue. If it is a large increase, still not going to be a huge issue. I mean, we've got plenty of carriers in our arsenal that, you know, if one dropped out and we had to move on and use another for all that business, we could easily do that. So no matter what it is, we'll be fine with or without it, but I don't anticipate that it's going to be a problem, that it'll be negligible. But as soon as that comes out, you can get on and print it out yourself, obviously. I'll send it out to everybody and then also update our rate comparison so it reflects whatever those new rates are.
Hey, Matt?
Yep.
This is Bill. Are they going to change the underwriting requirements or just the rates?
No, it's not a new app. They haven't filed anything new on the health side or underwriting side. Not to my knowledge. It's just going to be rates.
Okay. Okay, good.
And their level product is already so liberal. I mean, except so many things level, it's not even funny compared to a lot of, I mean, there's other carriers that'll do some of that. There's very, very few carriers that will do all of what Rural Neighbors do is level. So, I mean, any kind of rate increase that they have with that, it's still, so it might not be the lowest that you can find for a client, but when you take the underwriting into an account, for most clients, it's amazing that you're getting them a level benefit anyway, no matter what the rate is. So, anybody else? Okay. I really don't have anything else. I know a lot of guys got bonus checks from AmeriCo this week on their per app contest that were pretty lucrative. We actually had a new agent, Paul, up in Tacoma, Washington, that very first month out, he got a very nice check from AmeriCo. So congrats on that, Paul. That's a heck of a way to get things started out of other than that, I guess also on AmeriCo's, again, on the cash bonus side, their new You First 8% cash bonus will start up June 1st. So one ends at the end of this month. The other one starts, the second six-month qualification starts June 1st. So, again, that's a six-month qualification. So anything that you issue and pay between June 1st and November 31st, if you can do over 30,000, it's going to count towards an 8% cash bonus. And they set those time periods up that way to pay out a quote-unquote Christmas bonus. So it ends in November 31st. They said they'll have those checks out around December 15th. And the reason I point that out right now is because, you know, if you're writing anything right now and the client wants it to initial draft, you know, when they get their Social Security on June 3rd, then that's going to count towards that. So a lot of the AmeriCo business that you might write in the next couple of weeks here will actually count towards your next six-month bonus. So Just keep that in mind. If that's something that you're shooting for, then stuff you're writing right now can actually count towards that, because it's when it's actually issued and paid. So even if you submit it today, initial drafts June 3rd, that's going to count towards your next qualification period.
Matt, Jason Coleman got an attaboy from Security National for top agent for April.
Yeah, absolutely. Jason Coleman, it was actually for a day. They actually do a top issued and paid for the day. And last Friday, he issued more business through them in that single day than anybody across the country, which is awesome to see. Jason's what he considers a part-time agent. He's actually a full-time firefighter and then sells final expense either 2 or 3 days a week, depending on what his schedule looks like. And he was actually a top producer for a day and also for his first time ever qualified for a lead credit. I think he did almost 15,000 last month being a part-time. So that's pretty awesome.
Not bad for part-time, huh?
No, not at all. He's been with us for about 6 months, and he said he's just getting ready to get to the point where his part-time job will pay him better than his full-time job does. So yeah. Pretty awesome.
Yes, it is.
So, all right. Well, that's all I've got for you. As always, any questions, concerns, never hesitate. Give Jerry a holler. Give myself a holler. We try to be as available as possible at all times. So other than that, I hope you guys have a great weekend, and we look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Have a good one.
Thank you.